Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of The Period Party. This is Nicole, and I'm here with Krista Arecchio, a clinical and holistic nutritionist and the founder of thewholejourney.com. Hi, Krista. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. I am super excited to talk to you today. I feel like I've been through your book and there is so much to go through. I wish we had more than 30 minutes, but you know, we'll rock it out as you said. And so on this episode, we're going to be talking about fertility and preconception and the buildup of that and the detox part of that, as well as, you know, why you should be doing this. Also, how do you sort of assess where you are and where you need to be in terms of evaluating your current lifestyle if you're trying to get pregnant or want to get pregnant, the kinds of things you should add in, things you should eliminate, as well as prenatal supplements, whether we should or should not take those, and then, of course, advice for after you get pregnant. So we should get right into that, shouldn't we?
Let's do it.
Okay.
So where do you want to start? Preconception?
It was so interesting just like in the beginning of your book reading about, this idea that you relate a baby to a seed and what was the soil like before that seed was there. And this idea that we don't really think about that at all. I mean, like you said, looking at pregnancy from just that 40-week gestation period is not a complete way to look at pregnancy. And I think I would love for you to speak to that because I think that we view it a little maybe as an incomplete thing right now, currently.
Yeah, that's the primary reason, Nicole, why Willow and I wrote How to Conceive Naturally is, and we were having dinner one night and she was getting ready to prepare 6 months in advance for them wanting to conceive their first child. And I know that's quite far in advance, but we were really talking and saying, you know, isn't this period, because what you do in the 3 months before you conceive a child, that's contributing so much to their health in their adult life. And to us, that is just as important, if not important, than saving for college education or for all those things that we really plan for with a baby. We plan the baby room and we get all this stuff and we start shifting our life, but really kind of preparing for their health, you give them a totally different experience of life. And this is where we have the power to use the up and coming field of epigenetics to create truly a new generation of children that they don't have to get any predetermined diseases or disorders that have come in previous generations, because now we've done the preliminary work to contribute a better genetic code to our children.
It's so huge. I mean, when you think about how vast that is, there's so much you could share about it, I'm sure. But to me, that's like a whole other paradigm that we're looking at right now. And I think it's so promising and so incredible.
It really is. And like you said, we use the seed and the soil analogy because it's so true that when you're wanting to plant a garden, vegetable or whatever you're going to eat is only going to be as high of quality as the soil it was grown in. And so that's the exact thing, is you're tilling your soil. And for moms especially, you're going to have a much better pregnancy. You're going to be able to enjoy it. You're going to have more energy. You'll sleep better. You'll still want to exercise during the pregnancy and you'll enjoy that postpartum period instead of kind of feeling like you got hit by a truck and wondering what happened, right? That's such a magical time. Those first few months, especially becoming a new mother, it is for whenever any child's born, but it's like to really be present with this major life shift that you just created, a new life. And that's really the point and purpose of why we put this together.
Oh, for sure. I know. I love that. And I feel like, you know, this is something that I've been aware of for so long, but I've mentioned it to some women and they've never really heard of this concept. So why, you know, how do you do that? How do you assess where you are and, you know, what's going on with your body currently and how to get to the point where you're, you know, quote unquote, baby ready to start trying to get pregnant?
Right. Well, in the book, we have an assessment that you fill out, or we also give away the first chapter for free on howtoconceivenaturally.com, where you can take the assessment and you start to evaluate, okay, what is your current lifestyle like? Are you exercising? How many times have you had antibiotics through the course of your life? Because that is key and so crucial. And I have been eating, sleeping, and breathing the microbiome, and really repairing the digestive health and immune health with the microbiome to lay a platform for all of health. And a lot of the success I've had with fertility has come from finding the root cause of the microorganism in the body and getting the genetic code balanced. So we're trying to figure that out in the assessment, and we're looking at other lifestyle habits. You know, how much sugar do you consume? Are you currently taking supplements? Trying to figure out the health of the adrenals with sleep and moods. And so we're trying to get an idea between like lifestyle and what people have been through to say, okay, these are a couple of tracks that you can go down. Some people don't have to be as vigilant, and some people have a little more cleanup work to do to prepare for it. And it depends on
right,
age.
Of course.
You know, originally we wrote this book for women in their late 30s and early 40s because my practice had taken that bent, and I was not a fertility specialist. I was a general health counselor and nutritionist and knew a lot about the digestive health and hormones and the immune system, but I started getting all these women who have been through, you know, 6 rounds of IVF in the last 6 years, which is such an emotional journey and so hard on the body.
Yeah.
And still, you know, they're coming to me saying, this is my last shot. I've been to all of these doctors. I've been to all these nutritionists. Nothing is working. I really need to know if I need to let this go or is this going to work? And so you have to assess, you know, what someone's been through, the journey their body has taken, their emotions, all of that, to give them a good starting place.
Mm, that's so wonderful. I mean, I really liked that you decided to have, you know, in the book that having a healthy pregnancy after 30, and you included that because I think that a lot of people don't realize that even just early 30s, there are quite a few issues for women. I've had the same thing happen where so many women have come to me in their 20s and they've been through IVF. And so, yes, there is an age component to it, but there's also a humongous lifestyle factor contributing to women's infertility as well.
Well, we're living in a different world now, and we have a lot more environmental toxins that are affecting our body, and our food supply has really degraded so much in the last 20 years, more so than it has in the last 100. And back when I was finishing up high school, that's when GMOs started really getting on the scene, genetically modified organisms. And I'm going to give them a lot of the blame for this epidemic of modern infertility. You know, we have 11 times the number of fertility clinics we had in the U.S. alone than we had before this mass proliferation of specifically genetically modified corn and soy. Now we're putting it into the entire food supply. They are testing women. They're testing, they're finding the toxin from BT toxin from genetically modified corn in the blood of pregnant women in their fetuses. And then they've done studies on lab rats where when they're consistently fed a diet of genetically modified corn, these lab rats within 3 generations lose the ability to reproduce at all. And so that is a stunning statistic, and we realize how our food supply has changed so much, and we're getting all of these sneaky GMOs in places we would never think that we're getting them. So that's my advice to all of you guys listening. Try your very best to look for the non-GMO project stamp on the things that you're buying. If you eat corn, it hands down must be organic, and you want to avoid soy at all costs, especially if you're trying to get pregnant. I'm not a fan of unfermented soy in any way, shape, or form. And so, and the biggest portion too now is this changes your gut bacteria dramatically. You start producing toxins, and now your body and your microorganisms, which there are 10 times more microbial cells in the human body than there are human cells. We need to make peace with these guys. We can't have them working against us. If they're working for us, things really start to happen and we get positive changes in the body. If they're working against us, you're fighting an uphill battle. And so that breaks my heart to see women feeling like they're doing all of the right things and then not getting the results because this is this underlying chemistry war that's happening that they're unaware of.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I could not agree with you more. I feel that we are absolutely living in a different world. I mean, in addition to the food side of things, we're also under assault constantly because there are so many chemicals just in our general environment, whether it's in our house or in our workplace. I mean, and then in our personal care products, it's just continual. And there are so many people who are saying, oh, those things don't actually do anything to you. Our bodies are meant to do that. So I'm curious about, what, when it comes to doing this, you know, the 12-week detox that you recommend, what are some of the things that you suggest people remove aside from the genetically modified foods and the other things you mentioned?
Okay, so I'm taking all the fun away, but it's just temporary, right? And it's just to get balance within the body. So, yeah, we want to get rid of the GMOs at all costs. You want to get rid of genetically modified corn and soy and canola oil, cottonseed. You definitely don't want cottonseed oil in anything. And then, of course, we're getting rid of sugar. But we give everything. I don't believe in taking away. I think that denial and deprivation don't work in the long term. So we give you replacements. So, yeah, you've got to get off the stuff. You've got to get off of sugar. But we'll say you can use coconut sugar or you can use dark liquid stevia. So you can keep the sweetness but get rid of the sugar because mineral balance is so important for literally thousands of functions in the body. And sugar will deplete your minerals like nobody's business. Take it from a former sugar junkie. Like, that is how I got into this field. And it will deplete your hormones. And it will kill your good gut bacteria. It is the white stuff. You know, a lot of researchers compare it, the molecular structure, to cocaine, as addictive as it is and the way it lights up the dopamine centers in the brain. And so GMO, sugar, alcohol, you know, you're going to want to knock it back considerably. If you drink as a regular thing, it's just a couple of drinks a week and it would be lower sugar and organic red wine or something like that. And it's about crowding out, though, Nicole. And I know as a health coach and everything that you've done that you know that. And so it's like, let's give upgrades instead. And let's start the day with hot lemon water first thing in the morning to clear out excess acid that you've collected in the joints overnight and give your body fresh enzymes so then you can have a good elimination of toxins. You know, that is such a simple thing, and making sure that you're having 2 servings of organic leafy greens every single day. Very important to eat breakfast with healthy protein and fat within 1 hour of waking, especially in preconception, because that is your metabolic window for the day. What you do in the first hour of the day is going to set up basically your hormonal profile for the day. So we want to anchor you and kick metabolism, give you protein and fat so that way you can start to balance blood sugar, because balanced blood sugar leads to balanced hormones, and that's everything. We need to make the body feel safe, have a routine, and know what to expect, especially when we're baby making, because, you know, ovulation, having our period, it's all about the routine and the body kind of functioning as a system.
It sure is. Wow, that was some awesome advice. Thank you. Love that. What about, and speaking of advice for this time, what about labs? Should people be getting tested? I mean, that's like one of the number one questions I get from women. Like, what tests should I do? And how do I read these things? And where do I go from there if there's abnormal results? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so lab work is important, especially if you've tried to conceive, you know, for a few months, I'd say 3 to 4 months, and you haven't had success. So we want to kind of do a little bit of digging. And in the book, we give an entire chapter dedicated to functional lab work. So like you, I'm all about finding the root cause of any type of issue. And there's a lot of lab work out there that doctors aren't running, that I hope that they will. So I always recommend a 4-point cortisol panel where you're looking at cortisol and you're looking at DHEA and pregnenolone. These are precursor hormones from which the body can pull from and make sex hormones from there. So you never want to look at just your sex hormones like progesterone, estrogen and testosterone, because and Band-Aid with hormone replacement therapy when you're trying to get pregnant, because you want to go to the beginning where it starts, fill up the gas tank and let the body create its own hormonal balance from there. So I would recommend, I like saliva tests for hormones better than blood tests. I find that they're more accurate. There's no protein in saliva to be able to bind to them and throw off the results. And then my work for the last 2 years, in addition to the fertility and pregnancy, has been on gut and immune health, and they're inextricably connected. Like PCOS, I have found 8 out of 10 times starts with a parasite or a pathogen in the digestive system. And so that is one of the major causes in mainstream for infertility is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I can't even count how many clients that I have run a stool panel on them. I do 8-day stool panels. You can never find an 8-day stool panel. Most labs will only have. I am a hacker because I want to get to the root of it. So I have my clients, you know, put 2 samples from 2 different days in, so we're getting a better sample of the colon, and we have a much greater chance of catching any pathogens that might exist there. And then we can combat those pathogens and get them out of the body, flip the genetic code of the gut, and when you do that, you change the hormonal structure. So
wow,
I would recommend those two, and I have one more, and I know I'm talking fast, but I just want to get the information out there because I know this a short podcast, and I'm hoping that people listening, if they've been struggling, they get a nugget and it's like what moves the needle for them.
Sure.
Is looking for a genetic mutation. That's going to be really important. I don't know how much you've talked about the MTHFR genetic mutation on your show. Have you talked about that?
Not tons, but I talk about it so much in my programs and with my clients, because I actually have one of those mutations, and it has led me down quite a path.
It's kind of like heal or heal thyself, right? We have to prove the path, and I've gotten so many things I've had to heal from so that I could then help others. So I commend you for taking it there.
Amen to that. Yeah, exactly. But yes, I would, if you wanted to share anything on that, that would be great, because I feel like we haven't covered it extensively on the podcast at all, really.
Okay, so we have this genetic mutation, which now they're saying some 50% of the population has. It's abbreviated MTHFR, and that's a mutation. And what that means is that you don't have the ability to convert basically folic acid into a usable form of folate. This is really important. Folate forms the neural tube and the spinal column. And when you can't do this, you have recurring miscarriages. If you've had even one miscarriage, you need to go to the doctor and ask them to test you for the MTHFR genetic mutation. And you must make sure all of your prenatals and the only form you're having is folate, which is a food-based form of folic acid, and that is processed in the digestive system. Problem is folic acid, which is man-made, is processed in the liver, and the liver just does not contain the enzymes to be able to break it down and actually use it. And so this is a problem. And those with MTHFR genetic mutation, they have trouble detoxifying. Their liver can't detoxify the same way the people who don't have this have. And so they have a bit more trouble. And like to your point earlier, Nicole, it's like, yeah, even if you're only in your 20s, but you have this genetic mutation, the liver is processing all the toxins of life. And if it can't process it, you know, as quickly as they're coming in, you're going to get backup, just like a 5-car pileup on the freeway, right? It bottlenecks, and problems really start to arise. And so this is really important. I had a client who came to me after 5 miscarriages. I mean, it's devastating to a family. She said, Krista, I'm pregnant again, and I am so afraid to lose this child. And I told her about this. She got tested, and I think she was at the 3-month mark, and she had it, and we switched her right away. Even before she got tested, she was on the verge of losing this child again. She had a large yolk sac, which means you're getting ready to lose the baby. And we did an emergency. I had an acupuncturist that I teamed up with on my tougher cases. And he was getting ready to go on vacation. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I need you to turn around and go back to the office. And I'm sending her there. And he made her a concoction of Chinese herbs to prevent miscarriage. And between that and changing things and praying, long story short, is we just got her birth announcement last week. And she has a healthy, beautiful baby girl. And it's like, this is the game-changing stuff. It's game-changing in life of, do you have this child or do you not? And are they healthy and are they not? And so it's an important topic to bring up, the MTHFR genetic mutation.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot agree with you more.
But in the book. Yeah, thank you.
No, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Sensitivity testing. That's the last test I wanted. You know, in the book, we're going through a lot of them where you can kind of go through your own health history and say, okay, based upon my own health history, these are the labs I should run. But I also always recommend looking at a food sensitivity test and doing that maybe every 3 years to see which foods are your medicine and which foods are a slower form of poison, even if they're quote-unquote healthy foods. They may not be right for your body right now.
Oh, my goodness, for sure. Where do you recommend people get food sensitivity testing? Because I feel like, just in my experience, there's not so much controversy surrounding it, but there are some doctors believe in some tests, whereas others believe in others, and then some don't even believe in it, and then there's accuracy issues and things like that. So I was curious what you do and what you would recommend.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I'm not in private practice anymore as of the last 2 years, but following it, I see All-Cat and Spectracell would be the two labs I would work with now for food sensitivity testing. And you're right, there's a lot of controversy. It's very political. I have a whole podcast in and of itself. I lost one of my main diagnostic tools that was it was literally only $79 to determine 88 foods, and it was super accurate, and that got taken away from this lab company. It was too easy to find information, and so so then we started switching, and I hadn't found one that I liked better, because you have to know, are they standardizing the antigens that they're using? How do you know? Are you allergic to organic corn? Are you allergic to GMO corn? Are you allergic to chicken? Are you actually sensitive to the corn and soy that the chicken consumed, right? And so you have to know what the quality of the antigens are that these labs are using, and those two tests are the ones that I would trust right now, would be Spectracell and All-Cat.
Okay, that's good to know. You'd mentioned testing before. You'd said something, and now I've forgotten because we just talked about so many others. So maybe I'll come back to that if I remember what I was going to ask you. But one of the other big questions is prenatal supplements and taking. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Now that I've mentioned that, I remember. So you mentioned folate, especially for people, well, for everybody, but especially for MTHFR people. But what about the methylated forms of folate and B12? Well, how do you feel about the other types of these B vitamins?
Yeah, I like them all methylated in a prenatal vitamin. And so, you want to look for methylfolate. You want to look for methylcobalamin. Those are going to be the two things that you want to see on the label. You want to have at least 18 milligrams of iron. You want to have, 18 of iron within your prenatal. And I can go ahead and tell you my three favorite brands of prenatal. One is brand new. It's Orthomolecular's Prenatal Complete. It also has DHA. So that's super important for the baby's brain development. I don't know if you've heard of Innate, but they're kind of new and they're following our trimester because our trimester process, like for example, there's, you know, you need, when the bones are forming, you need more calcium and vitamin D and phosphorus and magnesium. When the skin is doing most of its forming, you got to really increase your vitamin C. Then you want to really, when the baby's blood volume is doubling and they're gaining weight quickly, you're going to be really focused on fats. And so Innate has per trimester multi prenatal vitamins, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that's so awesome. I didn't know that about them. So they're following your 5-trimester approach, or is it more just the trimester approach in general?
Yeah, I don't think they're following our five trimester approach per se, but for when you are in your actual first trimester, second and third, there the nutrients change, and that matches our belief system, where we have our first trimester's preconception and our fifth is postpartum, but for the three in between, I like that one. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, or you can
yeah, I love your five trimesters. Sorry about that.
Well,
I just totally stepped all over you. What was that?
No problem. It's that I think that five trimester approach is really important. It's important for mom to feel good as well. I mean, I'm curious what you thought of the placenta encapsulation aspect. And if you're a fan of that, I mean, we've seen a night and day difference in the way mom feels and her milk supply and her energy levels and her ability to lose weight after the pregnancy by doing placenta encapsulation and postpartum. I'm just curious what you thought about that portion of the book.
Oh, yeah, I'm obsessed with it. I mean,
yeah,
I have
good.
Tried to, yeah, totally. I mean, I basically am constantly trying to coerce every friend I know who's pregnant into doing this, because how could you not? I mean, and I know there's not a lot of clinical evidence per se, but the anecdotal evidence for it is so incredible. I mean, the stories I've heard from women who've done placenta encapsulation just blow my mind. I mean, everything is better, every aspect of their health. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, then there definitely are studies between baby number one and baby number two in terms of how quickly your hormones bounce back, whether you do it or not. And I've had, you know, it's a night and day difference for women. And I honestly almost feel like it's not an option, you know, if you're in your late 30s or early 40s, because you want to bounce back hormonally, and you can have just as healthy of a pregnancy and postpartum period at that age as you could in your 20s if you just use the tools that are available to you.
Right. Agreed. I know. I agree completely. So tell me really quickly, for after getting pregnant, do you have any advice for women? Because I usually work with women to help them get pregnant, and then we, you know, and that's usually where it ends for the most part. So I'm curious if you had any little gems for women once they do finally cross that hurdle and they're able to get pregnant.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what the whole second half of the book is about. It's like really important when you first get pregnant. We have different nutrients. Like, so in the first trimester, you want to focus on hydration. You want to focus on high quality salt, and you want to focus on protein. And obviously when you're getting so much morning sickness and nausea, and when you actually are hungry, you have to have high mileage foods. And in the first trimester, your high mileage food is going to be high quality pasture-raised animal protein. I don't know if you can fit in all the other foods around that, but that is going to temper the hormonal surges that cause a lot of the nausea, and it's going to help you to feel better and stronger and start to help develop the baby. And so you want to focus on those high folate foods in the first trimester because, like as I said, the neural tube and spinal column, all that stuff is beginning to form. So you're going to be looking for things like lentils and asparagus and tomatoes and oranges and high folate foods there. And, you know, amniotic fluid, basically salt and water. And that's going to be really important that you're going to stay hydrated and have enough electrolytes. So I would either do an electrolyte drink like the Good Anya Hydrate or Ultima Packets, or we have you kind of make your own with chia seeds and Himalayan peanut salt, a little electrolyte powder, and then a good quality mineralized water. Those are going to be important. And your leafy greens are going to be important. And then we start to move, like in the second trimester, you're going to feel much better if you have enough vitamin C. So we're going to really increase vitamin C and foods that are good for the kidneys. That's going to be really helpful if you're peeing all the time to strengthen those kidneys. And, you know, we get in foods like the highest foods in vitamin C are cauliflower, kiwis, red organic red bell peppers. And I love to put camu powder, which you can get in any health food store. It's just kind of sweet, sour tasting. I put that in my smoothie. 480 milligrams of vitamin C per teaspoon. You like it too?
Yeah. Oh my God, obsessed with it. Yes. Yeah, love it. Yes.
It's an amazing superfood.
Oh, it totally is.
And you want to pump up the fish oil.
Yes, of course. That's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
around that?
Well, I could keep going, but I know we're coming to the end of our time. But we love to have bone broth. We love to have bone broth and good quality root vegetables. And we're big fans of high quality, you have to know the source, raw milk throughout pregnancy and grass-fed beef liver. And you can take the pills if eating liver disgusts you. But those are all foods because you really want to make sure you're getting a vitamin A and vitamin D. And this goes back to Weston A. Price and really that traditional diet. And it's a night and day difference to get enough of the fat soluble vitamins through your food.
That was excellent. You are such a wealth of knowledge. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that. I really hope that, like you said, the listeners take some really good things away from this. Just so everyone knows, where can people find you and find your book, How to Conceive Naturally and Have a Healthy Pregnancy After 30?
You can find it on Amazon or iBooks. It's in all Barnes & Nobles nationwide. And you can find all of my work at thewholejourney.com. And if you go to howtoconceivenaturally.com, that's where you can enter your email and you get the whole first chapter. You get 43 pages of the book emailed to you to see if it's something that you would like. And that way you can fill out the assessment and see, okay, here's where I would start in my preconception detox. And you can have your partner, your husband, your partner fill it out as well, because we have a dad chapter and it takes two to tango. So dad's got to do the cleanse too and prep that sperm.
Awesome. That is a fact. Well, I can tell you, yes. I can tell everyone listening that the first chapter is incredible in this book. I mean, I took so much away from it, and I believe you will too. So thank you so much, Krista, for being on here and sharing all of this really valuable information with our listeners. And I hope that you have an awesome rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole. I hope you do too.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye for now.
Bye.